The scripture reading can be found on page 969 of the Pew Bible. It is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 13 through to 16. Page 969, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. This is part of Jesus' teaching to his disciples from the Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that men may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen.
I spent last week attending the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. It's an event which has much to commend. It has its moments and at times its controversies. And in amongst it all is opportunity to look back as well as forwards. Its long history means that many have gone before us. And much has been said and done in the name of Jesus since the year 1560. Yet the General Assembly I attended was looking very much to the future. New and evolving forms of ministry are emerging. There are many younger people now involved. Many are feeling called or prompted to explore ministry and pursue it. There's fresh vision of what God is doing, along with fresh expressions of how to engage with people of today. There's a renewed impetus to engage with local communities, all combined with an influential position, which can have a bearing on many pressing issues, with poverty and injustice just being the tip of the iceberg. Add to that connections and contacts which engage with government and other institutions, as well as with the wider church throughout the world. And what you find is a body of people from all walks of life in every conceivable place who have been moved, motivated and changed by what they believe God has done and by what they believe God is doing in and through them, in and through the church of which they feel a part. As if that wasn't enough, last week was spent staying at my parents' house. Both are no longer there. Yet everywhere I looked, everything I saw, everything I touched was filled with memory. The past loomed large, and yet the future beckons, as what was once their home will soon probably be sold. And so I spent much time in two places where I found myself looking backwards as well as forwards. And it reminded me of what I've come to believe. For the Christian faith points in two directions. It's possible to look back through the history of the church to the time of the New Testament, as the first church emerged and took shape. It's possible to look back to the time of Jesus, when God entered this world in the shape and form of his Son, a person like no other. Someone who lived and died, and amazingly, incredibly, incredulously, and historically lived again, who continues to live, and who always will be. But then it's possible to look back further still, as the Hebrew Scriptures provide an account of God interacting with people, with nations, and with the world, all of which can be read in the Old Testament. But that's far from the end, for the Christian faith looks forward. And most of all, it tells us that the life we know is not all there is. It tells us that who we are is actually of great worth. It tells us that there is a plan and that there is a purpose. That whatever we know now, or feel now, or have experienced now in this life can be made better. That whatever we've done can be forgiven. That whatever we regret can be resolved. For the Christian faith tells us that we can look beyond what we know with new found hope. And that we can look ahead with that very same hope. A hope that comes from recognizing God, encountering God, and knowing him. That's what I've come to believe. But what about you? When it comes to the Christian faith, it's not only possible to look backwards and forwards, it's possible to take two distinct approaches. That's when a particular theological word is used. And that word is Christology. For when it comes to Christology, there can be a low view or a high view. If low, then Jesus at worst might be regarded as a myth. At best, he might be acknowledged as some kind of special person. He could be regarded as being a prophet or like a prophet. His sayings and works given some recognition, perhaps as a good moral teacher or religious reformer. That's if he's acknowledged at all. But take a high view of Jesus and everything changes. First, Jesus is truly historic. His birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. What he did, who he was with, where he went, his teaching and his miracles, all are evidenced in a multitude of ways that cannot be denied or contradicted. But then there's the scriptures. Words were written, prophecies were made, all concerning Jesus, so that from beginning to end, the Bible speaks of him. Speaking of someone who was fully God and fully human at the same time. Someone who did what no one else could do, taking our place in order to give us a place in relationship with God. Believe that, accept that, and life changes. Where we've come from now has different meaning. Who we are now has different meaning. What we understand now has different meaning. What we do now has different meaning. Where we go now has different meaning. And what we say and have to say now has different meaning. For Jesus is eternal. If you take a high view of him. He is ever-present, all-knowing, and all-seeing. But most of all, He is our Maker, our Creator. And ultimately, He can be our Redeemer. And when that's known, then the words of Matthew chapter 5 come to life. That's when salt and light begin to have meaning beyond their normal description. And that's when the Christian faith has meaning for today, for you as well as for me. Becoming like salt that Matthew describes makes you precious, special, significant. When Jesus spoke these words, salt was a valued commodity, so much so that Roman soldiers might be paid with it, coining the phrase, worth your salt. But salt adds flavour, and so being compared to salt is like having newfound qualities that enrich who you are, but also everything and everyone around. For when Jesus spoke these words, salt was a preservative, helping to keep meat fresh and slow decay, making anyone who believes an influential person, wherever they are and wherever they go. But then light is mentioned, for what Matthew says relates to Jesus as he described himself as the light of the world. Meaning that when Jesus is known and when Jesus is welcomed, whoever knows him and welcomes him shares in his light. A light that has come to illuminate the world and all things in it. A light that can be reflected, making the true meaning and true value of all that we know plain to see. A light that will never be extinguished. That's what I believe. And I hope and pray that you too will believe like me, or come to believe. For when you do, you'll find work to be done now. The joy of giving to be accomplished now. The satisfaction of helping to be achieved now. The fulfillment of sharing to be undertaken now. That will affect the earth. That will change the world. And that can and will enable God to be known. And so whatever you look back towards, whatever you look ahead and see, whatever approach you've taken concerning Jesus, know that salt and light are what you are meant to be. As you believe in Jesus and act in His name.